Someone wrote and said, Kelly, you should talk to Cynthia Frank Stupnick or Stupnick. And I'm like, who is Cynthia? And then she told me Cynthia is a retired English instructor and an award-winning poet, essayist, novelist. Her writing depicts the varied Midwest landscapes where she and her family worked and lived. And when she moved away from the Mississippi River to live in South Dakota, her ancestors claimed in the 1870s, she took up her pen, her keypad computer, and she started writing there. And she's joining us today, originally from Clearwater, I believe, is Cindy Stupnick. Cindy, thanks for joining me today. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you. Looking forward to this.
Well, apparently you have been writing for quite some time, correct?
I have been. I had the dream as a child. I was in third grade. I was not looking forward to third grade because we would have to learn the Palmer method of writing and cursive writing.
Yeah.
But that third grade opened the world to me. We even had social studies with films, and I'm talking 50-some years ago.
Yeah.
And we had films, and it opened me up to a new world all over the world. And I decided then, as I watched my teacher design her letters, which I can't do, anyway, I decided that world, I wanted to be a part of it. And at third grade, I decided I wanted to be a teacher. Oh. I wanted to be a writer and or a journalist.
My goodness, that person, that teacher in your life obviously had a huge impact on you. Just must have been.
I didn't like her.
You didn't like her? Is that right?
But I think back, and she was probably the most influential at that age.
Yeah.
And no, she was scary. But she did. She opened the world for me and others.
Yeah.
And it's a great step, third grade.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I remember having to learn cursive, and you know, things are different now. My kids.
I
think that they had cursive writing. That my kids are 21 and 20. But barely. I mean, it was just like, well, we're going to touch on this. If you want to learn how to sign your name, here you go. And I'm like, are you kidding? We spent a whole year learning how to write in cursive, but not anymore. So it's different. So it obviously had a major effect on you because that is, it's a very influential time for many of us. And you decided whether you liked your teacher or not, you wanted to do more.
Yes, I did. And I think at the same time, my world opened up to Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Oh,
I'd go into
her.
The school library, and these books had been sitting on the shelf for a number of years, and nobody had taken them out except me.
Mm.
And I think there were some that had taken them out, so I'm not going to say nobody had. But I also had surgery that year, hoping I would get my hearing back. I was deaf in 1 year, and I had surgery, and I tell you what, I was swallowed up by Little House books all the way through. So she has been a great influence in my writing.
Wow.
I am so fascinated with history, just fascinated.
Yeah. And so at that age, did you start dabbling with poetry or writing yourself? Were you writing
poetry.
Little stories?
No, I didn't start with poetry. Back then, silly little stories. But the point was is that I was writing.
Yeah.
And journalizing brought all that. And finally, you know, college opened up a new world. I majored in English. And then, actually, I was writing and part of the South Dakota Poetry Society at the time. And eventually became president of the Poetry Society in South Dakota for 8 years. And we mingled with the colleges, intermingled, and we were part of the South Dakota Humanities Council for their programs that they had.
My goodness.
So it's gone, but I would say the first years from college until I got my graduate degree in English, I would say basically I focused on short story, essay, and poetry. To develop landscape, to develop description, which is so important to writing.
Yeah. Goodness. Yeah, I don't even know where to get started. If I write music sometimes, and I'll write something, and I think I'll have a really great idea, and then I'll write it down like in my sleep, you know, and I'll wake up and I'll read it and go, that sounds terrible. That sounds terrible. That is no good. No one's going to ever read that.
A lot of people burn the midnight oil writing, let me tell you. I am not as disciplined. seriously, sleep is important to me, and I'm usually conked out. So,
now when you write, are you still writing those types of things, or are you writing novels now? What is your latest thing that you've done?
I write poetry. I try to write a poem at least once a month because it takes me a good, strong 3-4 days to get that poem focused on. Mm-hmm. And I just won a grant from the United Methodist Church to write about the first woman minister in Minnesota who became ordained. And she became ordained, I'm going to say, in 1961 or 62. You know, without that in my hand
sure.
here. But anyway, she was my minister.
Oh.
And this was the first woman, and I'm just a teenager, I think. And she impressed me. She came to my high school graduation for me. And she taught us all sorts of things that at the time I didn't appreciate.
Yeah.
Well, I just thought, this woman is phenomenal. And I was interested in writing about her a couple of years ago. Anyway, a few years ago, actually, I researched for a number of years and found out she was the first ordained woman minister of the Methodist Church in Minnesota.
Great.
And that was just phenomenal to find that and have the connections and know more about her.
Yeah. All right, so this is what you've been working on.
I'm done.
Oh, you're done.
I was given a nice grant to research this. And I have written, you bet, I started with a historical dictionary for a company in Maryland, mm-hmm. Heritage Books, and they actually hired me at the time at my sister's recommendation because she said they're looking for authors, and I was teaching English at the time. But it actually started, I was in South Dakota now, and my sister said, I need you to look stuff up for Dad's family. Our father was an orphan, mm-hmm. but he was raised with family members in South Dakota, southern South Dakota, north of Yankton. Anyway, I had just gone to the census, the library and looked up census records. And while I was there, I was just, this is my relative. You know, the census records opened it up. And I started compiling and finding information. And this Heritage Books, I sent my resume, I sent what I had, and they got me on right the spot. So my first book was Steps to New Odessa. My family was the first family from Russia, born in Germany, although this is like the second generation of people, mm-hmm. who came to South Dakota. And that was in 1872, and I wrote a book of 150 pages or something.
Yeah.
And I just analyzed the records and wrote about each family, including our family, of one township.
Oh, wow.
But, yep. So all my poetry then, I was, you know, belonging to different poetry groups, I was taking grad classes, and one of the projects I had to do was polish some of my poetry mm-hmm. for, and this was not going to be done during my grad school days. It was obvious, but poetry, essay, and I did. I wrote my first memoir. I wrote a memoir called Postcards from the Old Man and Other Correspondence from Clearwater, Minnesota.
Huh.
That, too, was published under Heritage Books. And this just opened a world for me. Yes, I wrote the stories of what I remember, mm-hmm. living first at one house in town. I was born in St. Cloud,
okay.
who attended all the St. Cloud schools. But anyway, wrote about the first house we lived in. Then we actually were one of the later renters on Warner Lake, which is now Stearns County Park. And so anyway, that was just phenomenal. And at the same time, I'm reading Laura Ingalls Wilder, and she lives on Plum Creek. I'm living on Plum Creek. Could this possibly be the same Plum Creek? Well, it never was, but it sure had me exploring.
I bet it did.
And thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, opened my mind. Well, all these stories I was writing about in history, because my mother had a restaurant in Clearwater for a while, to have old timers come in and tell their stories.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it just fascinated me. And so I wrote some little bits of history just from my mom's recollections and these people.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually working in my master's degree is when I really got started on working on really finalizing and realizing that I had a story to tell. And that story was about one woman, Jenny Phillips, who was back in the 1900s, late 1890s, she was a career woman.
Oh.
And she was a pharmacist in Clearwater.
No.
And she had the pharmacy in town, yes. I didn't know her. She died in 1940, but a lot of people did, and they filled in a lot of information, and newspapers filled in a lot of information. So there was a lot of research done on this story that is a novel, which is based on the history of Clearwater.
Yeah.
And also pretty fictional, especially with names. Got to do that.
Of course.
You can't say something bad about a person. Anyway, but it was everything. Everybody, even at this time, respected her so much. All the newspaper articles talk about how much they respected her wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But she comes to find out that women are buying a lot of patent medicines. She and Doc Edmonds in the town, the village's doctor, talk about it, and he says, there's nothing you can do about it. She says, but do you know what they're used for? And he says, yes, some are junk. Mm-hmm. They're patent medicines. They could be just anything.
Wow.
And a lot of them are filled with laudanum, regular morphine, opium, you name it. And most of them watered Kool-Aid, or they didn't have Kool-Aid back then, but watered down and with, like, 75% alcohol in them.
Sure.
No wonder women were happy taking those medicines,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, wow.
But they were also so dangerous. And she becomes more aware of her surroundings because of two or three good friends who tell her that women are suffering. They need more help.
Yeah.
And really, women's issues were not really understood back then.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, she's been out exploring the village area and all around the countryside delivering some medicines, and she thinks she hears a strange noise, and come to find out, she is told by her friends that they believe, and their families have believed for years, it's the ghost of Alice Leonard, who was murdered in 1893. And now that's all true.
Wow.
Historically, everything is true.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the newspapers, how they picked up on it and told the story, because she was so poor, she lived in a house that had no floor. So that equals, as they say in their newspaper articles, that she was an immoral woman.
Oh,
she's 16 years old because of dirt floors. And she's an orphan, so why wouldn't they have him, you know?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that got me going because other people talk about it. And soon Jenny picks up the whole idea that she has to do what she can do to help women who need help.
Yeah.
So that was the basis of my first novel, which is called Minnesota. Well, I have to read the second part of the title, Minnesota's Main Street Women.
Yeah.
So I have a series. My second series is about Maud Porter. She's the daughter of Thomas and Abigail Porter.
Mm-hmm.
More to come about them. But Thomas ended up, he was a fur trader.
Okay.
And he ended up in the 1800s as being a legislator for Minnesota. So anyway, I mean, he has his story to tell. His wife has a story to tell, which is the next story, the next novel in this series. But Maud has a story to tell. She is against alcohol, and she's her office, she's a milliner, is set up right across from Quinn's Saloon.
Uh-huh.
And she sees drunks out there. She has fought against this. She's gotten herself in trouble. She actually gets attacked by drunken people, men, and that's how the story starts out, basically.
Right.
But she, too, sees women without a voice, without help, struggling, and that's what she fights for. And actually, in truth, Quinn's Saloon was shut down.
It was.
And it's all because of what she did. But there's murders.
Wow.
There's a little bit of romance and everything.
I've heard that we want to read your writings, for sure. We only got a couple minutes left. And so
oh,
now,
my gosh.
I know. Time flies, right? I want to know, where can we go, Cindy, to get your writings?
Sure, you can go online, You can go to CynthiaFrankStupnik.com. My last name is S-T-U-P-N-I-K, CynthiaFrankStupnik.com. That's my major website. Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook. And you can get a hold of me by cstupnik@gmail.com or books@CynthiaFrankStupnik.com.
And I know you're going to be at the Midwest, yes, Handmaid's Minnesota Artisan Fair, and that is going to be from, yes, 10 to 4. Is that happening this weekend?
This weekend, May 1st and 2nd.
At the St. Cloud, so, yes, River's Edge Convention Center.
Yes.
So people can come meet you.
Yeah, and they can come see me and talk to me or buy books or whatever. We're looking forward to this. First time in a year and a half.
Ah, right. We're all looking forward to it.
Because of COVID. So yeah, we're excited.
Well, Cindy, thanks so much for spending some time with us. I wish I had more time, but like I said, it flies by. We've got some news to get to.
It does.
And hopefully you and I will be able to maybe go out and have lunch one day when you're around the area.
That'll be fun.
All right, Cindy. It's Cynthia Frank Stupnik. You can go to CynthiaFrankStupnik.com to find out more. Or if you want to meet her this weekend, she will be at the Midwest Handmaid's Minnesota Artisan Fair from 10 until 4. It's going to be at the River's Edge Convention Center. I believe that's May 1st and 2nd.